Well, thanks, everybody. I really am encouraged by your company, and just pray for this evening's lesson, that it will be a great help to you. Not only to you in this room, but those who will be at some point in the future listening to this audio. We have just read Romans chapter 10, verses 1 through to 13. In verse 1, we have, of course, Paul expressing his heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel to be saved. In verse 13, Paul writes, "For everyone, whoever shall call on the name of the Lord will be saved." And of course, that's a reference from Joel chapter 2, verse 32, and the context of Joel as regards salvation certainly is not heavenly places but Zion, and we have an earthly salvation in view in Joel, which Paul was inspired to turn to in this passage, and we certainly have an earthly salvation in view in Deuteronomy, which of course Paul quotes in verse 6 through to verse 8, where he quotes Deuteronomy 30, 11 to 14. So we have here Israel's salvation being not only righteousness by faith, as was proclaimed by Moses, but also that great and glorious regathering into the land, which Joel is all about. The Lord roaring out of Zion in Joel chapter 2, a trumpet in Joel chapter 2, and of course supernatural gifts in Joel chapter 2, and enemies in Joel chapter 3 being judged. Remember, in the course of these lessons, we've drawn the parallel that Deuteronomy was written at the end of a 40-year probationary period. Deuteronomy, a second offer of the law to Israel. The book of Acts, close enough to 40 years, a second offer of Christ as the Messiah. Well, that was bad use of words. A second offer of Jesus of Nazareth as the Messiah, Christ the Anointed One. Deuteronomy written when, in the very next breath, as it were, figuratively, Joshua leads Israel across the River Jordan into the Promised Land at the blast of the seventh trumpet, enemies fall. And of course, as we have seen, and we can't go back to that, but we have seen that in the Acts period, we've had Passover fulfilled. We've had the Feast of Unleavened Bread. You see, Unleavened Bread, which is all about sanctification, separation, holiness. That's where this gospel of justification by faith fits in the festive calendar scheme of things, you see. The blood separated Israel, but you see, it also brought about this great and glorious liberation and deliverance from the bondage of sin and sins, and the great transference, the great identification with the Lamb that brought a righteousness. You and I are as near to God as his Son. The righteousness of God is what Paul is writing about here in this great chapter 10. He's recapping, as it were, the great exposition he started back in chapter 3 and 4 and 5. So we have then, indeed, Deuteronomy just prior to a trumpet and entering into the kingdom of heaven on the earth in all its type and shadow. Romans written at the end of a probationary period. Israel still uncircumcised in heart and ear in the Acts period, just as they were back in Deuteronomy. But, you see, as Paul says in Romans 3, remember, shall what if some of them don't believe? That won't invalidate God's faithfulness. And, of course, the Acts period and the letters written during it all anticipated that last trumpet return of Christ, the regathering of Israel into the land, and the defeat of enemies, particularly starting with the destruction of the lawless one, as recorded in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. So, in Romans chapter 10, we begin by noticing, that Paul quotes Joel 2:32, here it is, in Romans 10, "And it shall be, whoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved, whether they're Jews or Gentiles, for salvation shall be in Mount Zion, and in Jerusalem, as Jehovah has said, and in the remnant whom Jehovah shall call." That's Paul's quote in Romans chapter 10. The salvation is on the earth, do you see? And the justification by faith, which we find in Romans 10, is embedded in Moses just prior to a trumpet to take Israel into the same inner portion of the land. So let's return to Romans 10 and get a couple of recaps, if you will. Now, what we like here in this passage is that Paul recaps in verse 5 of Romans 10 about justification by or righteousness of the works of the law. The man who does these things shall live by them. We have found in verse 12 that Paul, in the matter of righteousness by faith, says that there is no difference, both of the Jew and of the Greek. So we see that, as I mentioned earlier, this is really a recap of what he wrote in chapter 3. So let's quickly go back and just grab a few verses out of chapter 3. But we know, this comes after he has said that the Jews have an advantage in chapter 3, verse 1, 2, and 3. But he's quoted the law and saying in verse 19 of Romans 3, "But we know that whatever things the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped," that's Jew and Gentile as well, you see, "and all the world may be under judgment before God." Very familiar stuff, isn't it? "Because by the works of the law, none of all flesh will be justified in his sight, for through the law is the knowledge of sin." Verse 21. "But now a righteousness of God," which is exactly what he's talking about in chapter 10, "has been revealed apart from law, being witnessed by the law and the prophets." This righteousness of God, Paul says, has been witnessed by the law and the prophets. And already in Romans 10, we've seen Isaiah and we have seen Moses, haven't we? And we also saw Joel. Three prophets, Moses, Isaiah, and Joel. And Moses, of course, identified with the law. So we have no difference, as found in Romans 3, verse 22. You see, chapter 10 is just a recap of these things. "Even the righteousness of God through the faith of Jesus Christ toward all and upon all those who believe, for there is no difference." Oh, Jews have an advantage. Jew first, Romans 1, 16 and 17, but no difference in this matter of faith, believing, and the consequential righteousness of God reckoned by grace. Now in chapter 10, of Romans, Paul says that Christ is the end of the law. Christ is the goal or object of it. You know, the law was a schoolmaster, as we've pointed out numerous times. "For righteousness for everyone who believes." everyone who believes. But again, I remind us that just because Jews and Gentiles believed into Christ at this time, during the Acts period, does not mean that the dispensation of the grace of God had begun, or that this was the opening stanza, the springboard of it. Now, we've looked, by the way, in Galatians, just as a recap, or to find another place where Paul had spoken about these things, and he says in verse 10, "For as many as are out of the works of the law, these are under a curse." You see? "For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them." That's what living in the law meant. That's what Moses meant when he said, you know, the man who lives by them shall live in them. He's got to live in and continue in them. "But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is clear, for the just shall live by faith." Romans 1, Galatians 3, and also in Hebrews 10. "But the law is not of faith, but the man who does these things shall live in them." Now, coming back, and this is what I want to emphasize tonight, in the matter of justification or righteousness by faith, Paul begins by showing from Moses that there is no righteousness in the continuing works of the law, and quotes Leviticus. But now in verse 6, "But the righteousness of faith says this," and he quotes Moses. The righteousness of faith, God's righteousness, says this, Deuteronomy 30, "Do not say in your heart, who shall ascend into heaven?" That is to bring Christ down, and tonight we're going to compare Deuteronomy. That is to bring Christ down. Christ descending from heaven into the lower parts where he offered himself without spot to God. Verse 7, Paul continues with Moses, "Or who shall descend into the deep?" That is, notice the "that is." We're going to look at that "that is" in a little minute. To bring up Christ again from the dead. Now, you are aware, of course, that Christ's resurrection is critical to the matter of justification. I remember in chapter 4 of Romans, when he says Abraham was justified by works, he has a boast in the top of chapter 4, verse 2. Verse 3, "For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness." Reckoned for righteousness, do you see? Now, at the bottom of the chapter, we have verse 22. "He was fully persuaded," Paul says, "of Abram," in verse 21. "And therefore," you see, at the bottom of the chapter, "it was imputed to him for righteousness," that faith that he had. Now, Paul goes on to say, "It was not written for him alone that it was imputed to him." Not written for him alone, that it was imputed to him. Verse 24, "But for us all, for us also to whom it is to be imputed, to the ones believing on him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised for our justification." The resurrection of Christ and justification are critical, aren't they? So now when we come to Romans chapter 10, where Paul is writing about justification by faith, or righteousness by faith, remember? He quotes Moses, and then embellishes it to say that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. No one brought Christ down, so they're not justified by what they do, do you see? No one brought Christ up from the dead to be justified. That's not how it happened. It was all by the power of God, wasn't it? This death, burial, and resurrection, he offered himself, and he was raised from the dead by himself and by the power of God. Now, in verse 8 of Romans 10, but what does it say? Now here again, he's continuing to quote Moses. In the matter of Christ's death, burial, resurrection, and justification. You know, I think it's quite amazing, isn't it, that in 1 Corinthians 15, the Apostle Paul says, I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, how Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. And that he rose from the dead, according to the Scriptures. But what does it say, i.e. that which Moses wrote? Here's Moses in an incredibly wonderful passage about righteousness by faith. I'm really quite certain that righteousness by faith is not a mystery that was hidden in God. But we're going to have a look at Paul's gospel and a mystery in a minute. I'm just basically recapping at the moment to make sure we can see how Paul's theme of justification by faith from chapter 1, chapter 3, chapter 4 includes the resurrection of Christ, and when he recaps in chapter 10, he's quoting Moses, and it's all a salvation that has to do with the earth. Now, verse 8 again. And I want you to notice something important. But what does it say, i.e. what Moses has been writing? The word is near you. Deuteronomy 30. This is a quote from that passage. Verse 14. The word is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart, and that is the word of faith which we proclaim. Would you say that again, Paul? Because I might have missed it. Are you saying, Paul, that the word of faith, which involves this wonderful righteousness of God, is the word of Moses? Is that the word you're proclaiming? Well, that's what he just said in verse 8, isn't it? That is the word of faith which we proclaim. That faith comes from the heart. And that faith of the heart is found in Moses in Deuteronomy 30. Well, I don't think that's anything hidden in God to you. And remember, we've already seen justification by faith embedded in a salvation of God that has to do with his purpose for the world through Israel. Joel chapter 2, right there in Romans 10. But it's going to get better than that, friends, if I get to the end of the lesson. You see, he says in verse 10, having already quoted Moses about the word near them and even in their mouth and in your heart, he says, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness. And he has just quoted Moses. Do you see that, friends? I don't think that belief, which is faith, you see, faith unto righteousness, I don't think that's anything that Moses didn't write about, do you? So justification or righteousness, same word you see, justification or righteousness by faith from the heart, Paul brings out from Moses. Now we're going to come back to this in just a moment. But you see, justification by faith is not embedded, is it? At this point, it is a fundamental truth and it's much as ours as Abraham's, but it's not embedded in the dispensation of the grace of God of Ephesians 3 that hasn't even been revealed yet. It's embedded in Moses and it's embedded in God's call to Abraham, as we shall see. Oh dear, justification of Gentiles in the call of Abraham? How can I use justification by faith through grace as the launch pad of a dispensation also given by revelation to Paul, which can't be found in Moses or the call of Abram. So let's go to Deuteronomy, and I want to compare very carefully what Moses said and what Paul says. Deuteronomy 30. In verse 11, Moses, speaking to Israel, says this: "For this commandment which I command you today is not hidden from you, neither is it far off." I'm very tempted to say, isn't that interesting? The very next verse is about justification by faith, and it's not hidden. A bit of an in-house joke, but that's okay. "It is not in heaven that you should say, 'Who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it to us, so that we may hear it and do it?' Do you see? Now, what I would like to do is just ask you to notice what Moses said. Here's verse 13. "Nor is it beyond the sea," the abyss, "that we should say, 'Who shall go over the sea for us to the region beyond the sea and bring it to us, so that we may hear it and do it?'" It's not a case of going, Moses said to them, to these lengths and saying, "Who's going to go?" You see, they're making excuses. They're making it difficult. They're making it an obstacle, right? Now, Moses said, no. Do you see? It's not hidden from you. Neither is it far off. And he says in verse 14, "But the word is very," and here's Paul's use of this, "but the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, so that you may do it." Now, this is the passage that Paul quotes in Romans 10. What's the context again? We've been here before, so pardon me. I won't dwell on this for too much. But it's a call to Israel, notice. Verse 1 of Deuteronomy 30 and verse 2 of Deuteronomy 30. And you'll notice in verse 2 of Deuteronomy 30, Moses is saying, "You and your sons, if you turn to God with all your heart and with all your soul." You see? Verse 5, what's God going to do? In this Deuteronomy passage, what's God going to do? Start a new dispensation? Start something that had never been revealed before? If this is the passage that Paul uses for justification by faith, what's God going to do? Deuteronomy 30 verse 3, if Israel turned to him, and Paul's prayer was that they would be saved, and he quotes this passage in Deuteronomy, "Then Jehovah your God," Deuteronomy 33, "will turn your captivity, and he will have compassion on you, and will return and gather you from all the nations where your Jehovah your God has scattered you." Oh, he's going to regather them at a trumpet when enemies are defeated. Isn't this amazing? Justification by faith in Deuteronomy 30 is in a context of God regathering Israel into a land. I don't think we can take justification by faith in Romans 10, which is embedded in Deuteronomy 30, and say Paul is starting to reveal a dispensation about heavenly places. That's just out of context, isn't it? Verse 4, "And if you are driven out, Jehovah your God will gather you," Deuteronomy 30, verse 4. Verse 5, "And he will bring you into the land." We've already seen in this series, haven't we, the hope of Romans 15 is all in Isaiah 11, God's holy mountain. And what's God going to do? When they turn to him with all their heart, when Israel turns to God and believes, he is going to circumcise their heart when they turn to him, to love Jehovah your God with all your heart and with all your soul, so that you might live. And Jehovah, verse 7, "your God will put all these curses on your enemies. Oh, the destruction of enemies at the trumpet blast, you see. Isn't this amazingly consistent? Israel brought out of Egypt, called on to keep, to turn to him, to be converted with all their heart, and he will circumcise their heart when he deals with their enemies. You know, don't you, that after, just after the Feast of Trumpet is the Day of Atonement, when there is national cleansing, and they recognize the one whom they pierced. And the high priest, of course, cleanses the Holy of Holies and then offers the sacrifice for the entire nation. That's when God's going to circumcise their heart to love him with all their heart and with all their soul. So that is the context of justification by faith, which is embedded in Deuteronomy 30. That is not a context of heavenly places, now is it? Now, let's have a look at these verses more carefully. Verse 11. Oh no. Well, I put Deuteronomy 30:11 in just to pick up this setting again. It's not hidden from you, says Moses. It is not in heaven that you should say, who shall go up for us to heaven? That is, to bring it to us so that we may hear it and do it. Now let's go back to Romans chapter 10. And here's how Paul takes this passage from Moses. Look what Paul does with Moses. But the righteousness of faith says this. Do not say in your heart, Deuteronomy 30:12, who shall ascend into heaven? And now he stops and says, that is to bring Christ down. Do you see the two verses in the room side by side here? Moses said, who shall go for us up to heaven and bring it to us? Paul says, but the righteousness of faith says, do not say in your heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down. Ah, there's a man who's received his gospel by revelation, correct? He is now putting or being given by the Spirit of God, and the gospel he's received, he's putting the Christ death, burial, and justification doctrine in what Moses said. He's bringing it out. He is not bringing out something that wasn't there. He's bringing out something that was written about, but he's exposing it. He's making it plain, isn't he? Now back to Deuteronomy 30, verse 13. Here's what Moses said. Do you see? Now, here is what Paul, and this is how Paul, under inspiration, uses that verse. Verse 7. Or, who shall descend into the deep? That is, do you see? Here comes the divinely inspired apostle who's received his gospel by revelation, and he's taking the law, and from the law, which is witness to justification by faith, he's bringing it out. He's making it plain. Can you see that tonight? Paul is taking what Moses said, and he is saying, this is Moses speaking about righteousness or justification by faith. And I'll tell you something, friends, I would never have seen it in that passage if I hadn't have had Paul's inspired words to make it plain. And you can say, yeah, but you're dumb, Brian. Everyone else could have seen it, but you see? Can you see how Paul is taking the law and the prophets and bringing out the doctrine of justification by faith, because Paul got a revelation about this gospel and was taught for many, well, I'm going to say 40 days by Christ. Heart and mouth. Now, you know I'm going to go to Galatians now, don't you? You just know I'm going to Galatians, because you know in Galatians that Paul says this: I, brothers, make known to you the gospel which was preached by me, that it is not according to man. Verse 12, for I did not receive it from man, nor was I taught it except by a revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, don't think, friends, that just because he's had a revelation from Christ, that the word revelation itself means the mystery of Ephesians 3 that was hidden in God. Paul got a revelation, and he received a gospel. And watch out, friends, because we're going to stay in Galatians before we go back to Romans. In verse 23 of Galatians 1, those who had heard of the Apostle Paul's conversion were now hearing that he who then persecuted us now preaches the doctrine which he once ravaged. See, he preaches the faith he once destroyed. Oh, he got his gospel by revelation. Oh, yes, indeed. You can see that in 1 Corinthians 15, I've already quoted. I delivered to you that which I also received. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. But Paul got it by revelation, didn't he? He needed God to show him something. And I know, I tell you what, friends, I'm quite convinced that it takes the power and the Spirit of God to show Christians today the mystery of Ephesians 3. So he got his gospel by revelation, but he was preaching the faith he once destroyed. Now, I'm going to chapter 3. Excuse me, jumping over the direction of Paul to the Gentiles and Peter, James and John to the circumcision. But I want to jump to chapter 3 of Galatians, where he's going to pick up this great doctrine of justification by faith. Verse 5. He's applying the Spirit to you and working powerful works among you. Is it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Oh, here he comes on his theme, correct? Even as Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. Well, we've had Abraham, as we've already seen in Romans chapter 4. Justification or righteousness by faith, that's God's righteousness, in Romans 10. So in Romans he's quoted Moses, in Romans 4 he's quoted Abraham's life and Genesis 12, and here it is again. Is this Paul's gospel given by revelation? Well, the man under inspiration talking about this great doctrine is back in Israel's fathers and the law. Verse 7. Therefore, know that those of faith, the ones believing whosoever, upon all, Jews or Gentiles, these are the sons or heirs of Abraham. But I'm pausing here. I'm going to pass over the fact that that means they're heirs with Abraham. You come to the bottom of chapter 3 of Galatians, and Jews and Gentiles are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise he made them. But I'm even going to pass on that juicy bit. And the Scripture, I want to ask you a question tonight. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify, make righteous the Gentiles through faith, preached the gospel before to Abraham. Ask yourself a question, what gospel did God preach to Abraham? Pardon me, but it wouldn't be a perverted gospel now, would it? What gospel did God preach to Abraham? Saying, in you shall all nations be blessed. This is the gospel that God gave to Paul by revelation, isn't it? Isn't this Paul's gospel that God has preached to Abraham? Paul, under inspiration, is quoting the call of Abraham in the matter of justification by faith. When God gave Paul his gospel by revelation, God had already preached it to Abraham. That's what Paul says, doesn't he? So don't tell me the gospel that Paul received in Galatians was hidden in God like the revelation he got about the mystery in Ephesians. That's impossible. Now, let's go back to Genesis, because this is critical, isn't it? It's critical. What do we say about Deuteronomy? Deuteronomy was the second offer of the law to Israel, just before they entered the land that God promised Abram. Justification by faith. Pause for one moment. All right, we were interrupted. But here we again pick it up from Genesis 12. And Jehovah said to Abram, go out of your country and from your kindred and from your father's house into a land that I will show you. This is the call of Abraham. This is the passage, my dear friends, that Paul says contains the gospel that God preached to Abram. And I'm suggesting to you that the gospel that God preached to Abram was the very gospel of justification by faith, which included justification by faith, that God gave to Paul by revelation. Now, we've already seen in Romans 10 that Paul spoke about righteousness by faith, the righteousness of God, and he's quoting Moses. Now in Galatians, whether it was before or after Romans, is irrelevant. He's now going to go back to the call of Abram for justification of the Gentiles by faith. And I will make you a great nation, God goes on to say, or Jehovah in verse 2 of Genesis 12. And I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those that bless you and curse the one who curses you. And in you shall all families of the earth be blessed. Now then, what did Paul say in Galatians? And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the nations through faith. Let me point this out to you. Preached the gospel before to Abram, saying, in you shall all nations be blessed. Can you look at Genesis 12 verse 3 and find justification by faith to Gentiles as well as Jews? But when Paul, under inspiration, having received his gospel by revelation, can go to Genesis 12 verse 3 and bring out from the prophetic writings justification by faith. You see? The gospel. What gospel was preached to Abraham? The gospel that Paul received by revelation, which was justification by faith. Never hidden in God in the scriptures, but not made plain in the scriptures. He's already quoted Moses. He's already quoted Abram in Galatians. And of course you remember in Romans 4 he's quoting David. David, who was forgiven by God through Nathan the prophet when the law said to David he and Bathsheba should be stoned to death. And they had no recourse to the trespass offering because it was for sins of ignorance, not premeditated murder and adultery. Other way round, adultery and murder. Oh, you hear people say, no one can be justified or have their sins forgiven under the kingdom dispensation. And guess what? Paul says, no, you can't. Yes, they can. And he quotes David, who says, blessed is the man whose sins are covered. Now that's justification by faith. That's the essence of Paul's gospel that was in the scriptures. Now, friends, here's something fabulous. Something fabulous. Do you know in Genesis 10, the Gentiles had been cast aside and spread out in the world? And when the Gentiles were spread out in the call of Abraham, Paul, under inspiration, brings out justification of those very Gentiles who'd been cast aside. Justification by faith wasn't something that was introduced because Israel had been cast aside. It was introduced when God cast away the Gentiles. And you see that point? Here's Paul in Galatians quoting Genesis chapter 12 verse 3 and expanding and making justification of the Gentiles by faith, and it's given in the call of Abraham after God had scattered the nations or the Gentiles in the world. Justification by faith isn't something given by revelation after God scattered Jews. It was given to Paul to see it in the call of Abraham after he had scattered Gentiles. Do you see how that doesn't fit to say that justification by faith and Paul's great gospel concerning this matter was the beginning of the revelation of the mystery after Israel had been cast aside? Doesn't fit, does it? Now, let's come back to Romans. You see, in Romans. Do you know something in Romans? Paul has spoken about, hasn't he? He's spoken about, in Galatians, a gospel that he received by revelation, correct? But of course, in Galatians 1:23, he was preaching the faith he once destroyed. In Galatians 3, he talks about the gospel being preached to Abraham, which was obviously Paul's gospel, correct? So it was never hidden in God, was it? It was preached to Abraham at his call. And the call of Abraham included a great and mighty nation and all the families of the earth being blessed through that seed. Justification by faith, as at the call of Abram, and the beginning of God's greater revelation concerning salvation in the earth, not salvation in heavenly places. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, a called apostle, separated the gospel of God, which he preached to Abraham in Genesis 12, verse 3, which he had promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. How are we justified, by the way? Everybody? About his son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Do you see? Who is made of the seed of David according to the flesh, who was marked out the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. You can't separate justification by faith from the finished work of Christ, friends. We've got Christ's resurrection in Galatians, in Romans chapter 4, and we've got his resurrection in Deuteronomy 30 as brought out by Paul in Romans chapter 10. And here's the gospel of God in Romans chapter 1, and praise God, it's about the resurrection of Christ from the dead. Do you see how that's linked to Deuteronomy 30 and Paul's gospel given by Revelation? Romans chapter 16. In Romans chapter 16, Paul writes this at the end. Now this, of course, is an amazing little passage of Scripture. And before Dr. Bullinger had indeed had his discussions with Charles Welch, Dr. Bullinger, in his companion Bible, thinks that this was a parenthesis, that this was added after, you know, Paul got the mystery. But that doesn't structurally fit. Now to him who is able to establish you, says the Apostle Paul, closing Romans 16:25. According to my gospel. What gospel was that? The one he got by revelation. The gospel of God, however, that he got by revelation, that concerned Jesus Christ and the resurrection from the dead, in Paul's Acts period letters, he found in the call of Abram, he found in Moses Deuteronomy, he found in Psalm 51 and Psalm 32. Do you see? He might have got it by revelation, but it was never hidden. It was there. And this version that I'm using tonight says Romans 16:25 like this. Now to him who is able to establish you. Look up the word establish. It only comes twice in Romans. It comes in chapter 1 where Paul wanted to establish them with a supernatural gift. The children of Israel were absolutely swamped with powers and signs and wonders, weren't they? From their start of their history. To establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery having been unvoiced. Don't let's get something, oh, it's kept secret in the King James Version and that's okay. But it's kept silent, unvoiced. This doesn't say it was hidden in God, now does it? Paul's gospel he got by revelation in Galatians, in Romans, was found in the call of Abraham and in the words of Moses. And this mystery has been made plain. You see this? This mystery has been made plain. It's been made plain. Do you see that? And by the prophetic scriptures, Paul brings out righteousness by faith in Romans 10 and he finds it in Moses. By inspiration, by revelation, he can take the words of Moses in Deuteronomy 30 and show justification by faith. He can show in the call of Abraham in Galatians 3, Genesis 12:3, justification of Gentiles by faith. Don't you think that's Paul, under inspiration, making something plain that was in the prophetic scriptures, that was promised in Romans 1 by the writings of the prophets? I think that, my friends, is just exactly what Paul's great gospel about the death, burial, resurrection of Christ and forgiveness of sins and justification is all about. In the Acts period, do you see, Paul was proclaiming such things as were promised beforehand. I proclaim to you, he says in Acts 13:32, the gospel, the promise made to the fathers. And the promise made to the fathers was a wonderful inheritance on the earth. But also in the law and the prophets, embedded in their words was the wonderful and glorious gospel of justification by faith in the one who had offered himself without spot to God. Justification by faith is found in Deuteronomy, just before Israel entered the promised land at the typical trumpet feast. After a wilderness wandering, when God was faithful and took them in despite their spiritual condition, Moses spoke of justification by faith. In the Acts period, despite Israel's spiritual condition, Paul says clearly in Romans, God has not changed his mind about the gift and calling. Their unfaithfulness did not invalidate God's. And in the last letter of Paul, written at the end of that second offer period, Paul brings out plainly through the scriptures the great doctrine of justification by faith. I conclude by saying again, friends, the gospel of justification by faith is embedded in God's call of Abram to a promised land and God's purpose for the earth. It's embedded in Moses, whose great song of prophecy is also used in Romans 10, which is summed up in Moses, God will be vengeful for his land and for his people. And that whosoever believes in Romans 10:13 and Joel chapter 2 is the salvation of God that is focused in Zion. It is therefore improper for me, as a right-dividing Bible teacher, to say just because Paul taught justification by faith, he was opening the door to another revelation he had, which was about a calling that has to do with heavenly places. No, it doesn't. Justification by faith looks back to God's faithfulness to Israel. And that's where we should leave the great doctrine of justification by faith. We should look back to Moses. We should look back to the call of Abram. And we look to the prophecy of Joel for the wonderful salvation, which will be for Israel when they turn with all their heart. Then in the land he'll circumcise their hearts. They will love him with all their heart and with all their soul. And they will believe in the one that they pierced, and they will be made righteous by the reckoning of God. It's part of his purpose for them. It was part of his purpose for the remnant of the Acts period. And I hope this lesson might not convince you of anything, but I hope it inspires you to keep studying the differences in Paul. May the Lord continue to guide each and every one of us. We thank you, Father, for tonight, for the blessings of your word, for the joy, for the glory of it. We praise you for the consistency of it. We thank you, Father, for the power of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for Christ teaching Paul. And we thank you, Father, that by comparing Scripture with Scripture, we see justification and righteousness by faith, embedded in the law and the prophets, but made plain by that great apostle who had a commission to the children of Israel and to kings and to Gentiles. And we bless you, Father, for him, for his faithfulness. Help us to be just as faithful. Through Christ our Lord, we bless you for all things. Amen.